Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Today, I'm excited because we start a brand new eight-week series called Celebration of Embracing Gracism. Embrace Gracism has been our theme all year. And the seventh saying of a gracist is, I will celebrate you. And so for the next 8 weeks, we're going to celebrate different aspects of the body of Christ here at Bridgeway. I'm going to tell you what these next several weeks are going to look like. But before I do, let me just say happy Sunday after Easter. What a great program we had last weekend. Let's give it up for our creative arts ministry. Over 8,200 people came through all of our campuses, and many people gave their lives to the Lord. So can we give God just a great big hand, clap of praise? So next week, today I'm going to start with celebrating salvations, new believers, and baptism. I'm going to explain what salvation means and what baptism means. Next week, we're going to celebrate a group in our church, the seniors and the seasoned saints. So what about that? We get to honor folk who are a bit older, and I don't want my old people to skip out on me next week. I need you to be here because we want to honor you. You're thinking, where's the cutoff for old? Where does it start? I'm not going to tell you until next week. After that, we have celebrating motherhood. It's Mother's Day. After that, we have celebrating God's culturally diverse kingdom. All the diversity in the ethnicities here. You may remember in a State of the Church address, I said, I'd love to have like all the ethnicities, like bring their food and let's really celebrate each other's connection with regard to our cultures. Well, guess what? On that day, not only will the services be celebrating God's diverse kingdom, but that evening, Sunday evening, May 19th at 5 o'clock, we'll have our international festival, our international dinner. If you want your country represented, you want a table for your country, you want to bring some food from your country, please stop in the lobby at a table where you can sign up for that. We want host tables. We want your country represented, and I want to eat all of your food. So come on, bring it on. I want to taste. I'm going all over the world on that day, so make sure you're here for that. Also on the 26th, which is Memorial Day weekend, we are going to celebrate American veterans and civil servants. So those who are in the military or served in the military, as well as firefighters, first responders, law enforcement, we want to say thank you to you and honor you. After that, we want to celebrate June 2nd, student graduates and educators. So for those of you who are teachers and educators, and for those of you who have graduated, we just want to celebrate you. And then the second Sunday of June is our end of the year wrap up. So we'll celebrate the volunteers that have made a difference in this church. And then the next week it's over. It's Father's Day, celebrating fatherhood. And so then you're right into the summer, right? So can you believe it? We made it all the way to this point in the year. And I just want to thank you for walking with us through this journey until this point. Now, as we talk about salvations, I just want to be clear. I'm going to say a quick prayer. But before I do, I want you to know what my goal is. My goal is if you don't know the Lord and you don't know what it means to be saved, by the end of the sermon, you'll know what it means to be saved. And I'm actually going to give you the scripture so you can see what Jesus's words are in the Bible with regard to salvation. So that's for the unsaved. Then there's some of you who are saved. Many of you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know the scriptures of why you are saved and take down the scriptures so you can share it with somebody else. It's one thing to know you're saved. It's something else to actually know the scriptures where you can show somebody in the word, this is what it means to be saved. So I want to turn this sermon into a classroom today. Like, if that's okay with you, I want pens, paper. I want you to write down. I'm going to give you like 14 or 15 scriptures. And so I want you to be able to write this down or take a picture. If you're techie and you want to take a picture of the scriptures on the screen, you can do that. You can pull it up on your smartphone. However you can get the information, I want you to know why you're saved if you're saved, but I want you to actually know the scripture so you can go to it and show it and teach it to other people. So are you game with the classroom style today? All right, come on, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, now, as we go into your word, would you just teach us what salvation is, and most of all, teach us how to respond to it based on the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, together everyone said, amen. Amen. Now what I'm going to do today is I'm going to take you through what is known as John's journey, the book of John, so you can learn all about salvation through the book of John. Now there's also scriptures known as the Romans Road. But I don't want to confuse us. I kind of want to just stay. So if all you had was the Gospel of John, you'd be able to show somebody the salvation plan even just through the verses I'm going to give you. Now, out of the 14 or so verses, the first half of those verses, like the first seven, are scriptures that are going to teach you about who Jesus is and salvation. The second half, the last seven, if you will, are going to be Jesus's great I am statements. And I'll explain what that means as well. So we're going to start right at the beginning in John 1:1. And Pastor Dan has printed out some of these verses, so they'll also be available if you want to stop by the Resource Center or by the information table. And we may even be able to get them up on the website. But for now, if you just take them down, you'll become Bible study students. And we're going to start with John 1:1. Okay? This is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, when you see the word "word" there, this is talking about Jesus. Now, I'll confirm it later in another verse, but you'll just have to trust me for now that when you see the word "word" there, it's Jesus. So I'm going to read it again, but this time I'm going to substitute the word "word" for Jesus, and then you'll really understand the meaning of it. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. What we're seeing is a triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's one God, but in three persons. And here, Jesus is saying, in the very beginning, he was with God the Father. He is God. So he was, in the beginning, was the Word. Jesus was there from the very beginning. And the Word was with God. So he was with God when they created the earth and the heavens and the earth. And the Word was God. He actually is God. And so that's the beginning and understanding who Jesus is. But then the next verse I want to give you from John 1:1, let's keep moving now to John 1:12. And in John 1:12 it says, yet to all who received him, can you say received? Receive. To those who believe, can you say believe? Receive. In his name he gave them the right to become. Can you say become? Yes. Become children of God. Let me read the whole thing. Yet to all, how many? Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In this verse, we now see the equation of salvation. Here it is. Receive plus believe equals become. Look at it closely. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Receive plus believe equals become. In other words, the way you become a child of God is to receive him into your heart, into your life, and to believe on his name. So receiving him means you're opening up your heart, you're opening up your life. The Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anybody lets me in, I'll come in and fellowship with him and fellowship with her. In other words, you open up your life to the Lord and you invite him in. And then you believe on his name, believe that he says he is who he is. And then you will become children of God. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say that we're all God's children. Now, generically, we could say that really means, if you hear me ever say that, it really means we're all human beings from God. But theologically, it's not accurate. We're all creations of God, but we're not all children of God. In order to be a child of God, you have to become a child of God. And how do you become a child of God? You receive him, you believe on his name, then you become a child of God. Now, we find this built on even more as we continue to move to the next scripture. So we've seen John 1:1, John 1:12. Now let's move to John 1:14, which will help you understand John 1:1. Let's go there. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, that's Jesus. So that's how we know that 1:1 is talking about Jesus, because 1:14 sort of interprets it for us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's Jesus. And so if we want to become children of God, we've got to become children of God. Well, how do you become a child of God? Well, we find out as we continue to build on this in the next scripture, we go to John chapter 3, verse 3. And we see that in this interaction, Jesus is talking to a religious leader by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus wants to know, how in the world can I get into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus explains it to him in John 3:3, and this is what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God. Who can see the kingdom? No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. In other words, you have to be spiritually born in order to come into God's kingdom. Remember, we said receive plus believe equals become. So becoming is actually being born as a child of God. You must be born again spiritually. Well, what does it mean to be born again spiritually? Well, we are all born once physically, but you and I are spiritually dead because we have the disease of sin inside of us. We're dead men walking. And so you've heard me say it before. Let me say it again. If you were born only once, you will die twice. But if you are born twice, you will only die once. You see, death means separation. And so when you die physically, your body is separated from your spirit. And if you die spiritually, that means your spirit is separated from God's spirit. And so we are spiritually separated from God because of sin. So our spirit's separated from God's spirit. So when he sends Jesus, it's to pay the penalty, and he's the cure for the disease of sin. And once Jesus pays the penalty for our sin, when we receive him, believe on his name, then we can be born again by asking or inviting Jesus Christ to come into our life because of what he did on the cross. Once that happens, our spirit becomes alive, and now our spirit is connected back to God's spirit. That's how you become a child of God. And so to be born again, you have to be spiritually born. So when you're born once, all of us qualify, we're still going to die twice, which means we're going to die physically and spiritually. So if you and I die right now and we're not born again, we haven't become a child of God yet, then we will be spiritually dead and separated from God forever. And that's why I said if you're born once, you'll die twice, physically and spiritually. But if you die twice, right, then here's the good news. If you're born twice, let me get it right. If you're born twice, you'll only die once, right? Because you're born physically, and then you accept Jesus Christ. Now you're born spiritually, born twice. That means you're only going to die once, a physical death. That's why when my dad died when I was 21, and we went up to the coffin, when I touched his hand, it was cold. Because his spirit has left his body. Nothing but a shell left. That's not him anymore. That's just the shell that had him. But now he is free, and because he was born again, he's in a relationship with God. He's fully healed. He's in God's presence. Because he was born twice, he only died once. So it's a great question for you to ask yourself. Have you been born again? You've all been born physically, so that's done. Have you been born spiritually? Have you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive you for your sins and believed on his name by faith? Everybody has to answer that question, not to me today, but to God. And when you meet your maker, if the answer is yes and you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, then you have eternity with God inside of you and for the rest of your days. But if not, you'll spend the rest of your eternity separated from God. This is why we move to the next verse, which says in John 3, 16 through 18. That's the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever what? Believes in him shall not perish, which means die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. How? Through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not, what? Believe, stands condemned already because he has not, what? Believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's about belief. And if you believe in Christ, you will be saved. And now what we see is the gospel. The gospel is God so loved the world, he sent his son Jesus. Now, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. It's called good news. Now, some people think they're born neutral. And if I choose Christ, then I have eternity. If I don't choose Christ, then I go to hell and I'm separated from God. We're not born neutral when we make a decision like that. We're born condemned already. It's like you're born with the disease already in your system, in your DNA. We're already condemned. This is why when Jesus comes, he brings the good news. How lovely are the feet of those who bring good news. Here's the good news. The good news is that you're already condemned. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but Jesus came to save you from the state that you're already in. You see, what some people have to realize, which they never realize, is that they're in the state of condemnation. They just think, I'm a good person. No, you may be a good person, but you're still condemned. You still have this disease that separates you from God for eternity. But God so loved the world that he sent his son so that you can no longer have to stay in a state of condemnation. You can now be free. That's what John 3:16 is all about. That's why we don't go around just telling people you're going to hell, because that doesn't help them. What helps them is the good news. Hey, listen, no matter what kind of hell you're in, God can save you. God loved you so much, he came to get you out of whatever it is that you're in. You don't have to fear death, because death is just a doorway to your eternity. It's just a transition, so your body will be gone and your spirit will be free. It's going to be the most perfect thing when you get to heaven. Look, you never have to worry about the body again. See, our bodies, when we were created, we were not created to die. It was because of sin that our body's dying. Otherwise, we wouldn't be getting all old and stuff and diseased, and we got cancer and all kinds of illnesses. All that comes because of the fall. All that comes because of sin. And so the reason why we physically die is because we get older, our body dilapidates, and then finally it can't hold on anymore, and we go. So our bodies are examples of sin, but sin taking our life, but we can be renewed spiritually every day. This is why heaven's going to be so awesome, because in heaven, you're not even have to worry about your body being an issue anymore. You don't have to worry about being too fat or too skinny. You don't have to worry about not having the right color or the right hair. Hey, look, you don't even have to pay for somebody to do your eyebrows anymore. Because, look, can I just tell you, you'll never have to, look, you'll never have a broken nail. You'll never have to even worry about that. And your nails will be real. They won't even be fake. I mean, it's going to be amazing. And you know how people pay to get their eyebrows tattooed? Look, you never have to worry about it. There's never going to be a hair out of place. It's going to be perfect. And guess what? We're going to be able to eat and not worry about calories, carbs, or anything. I mean, it's going to be great. The Lord's going to prepare a banquet for us, and we're not going to be like, how many calories I got? You don't have to worry about it. There's no more diets in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah. I mean, look, there's no more diets in heaven. Just the first three letters of the word diet should tell you something. But he came to give life, right? So we're never going to have to die again. Never going to have to diet again. You get there, you get to eat whatever you want. You're going to look great. You're going to be the perfect height, the perfect weight. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more breakups, no more pain, no more guilt, no more shame, no more sorrow, no more disease, no more cancer, no more diabetes, no more back problems. It's going to be perfect. And that's why he came, to deliver you from diets. And from dying. Moving to the next verse in John 4:23-24. And if you were here last week for the Easter sermon, secret agent Jesus comes down. And what is he doing? He's turning unrepentant sinners into true worshipers. He's not just saving you from the condemnation of hell. He's turning you into a true worshiper. And this is what he says in John 4:23-24. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Yes. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, let me give you another one. John 5:24. Listen to what it says. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, whoever hears my word, that's what you're doing now, you're hearing the word. Whoever hears my word and what? Okay. Believes him. See, it's back to belief. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So that's the process that happens. When you believe in him, you hear the word, then you believe the word, then you can cross over from death to life. There's a threshold that you cross. And that's happened for many of you. Others of you, I don't know if it's happened yet, but it's a threshold. Some of you remember the day it happened or the season in your life it happened. Well, you gave your life to Christ and now you feel new life inside of you. If you've been saved, you know you've been saved. You've invited Christ into your life and you know what I'm talking about so far as a new life that has come into you as you've surrendered your life to the Lord. Just wave to me. Anybody do that? Anybody have done that? Okay. If you haven't done that yet, no shame. Anybody not sure if you're saved, not sure if you're going to heaven, not sure if you are going to make it to the other side, I see you. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? Wave to me. Because today, the cool thing about today's service is I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it. And here's the thing. You have the opportunity to do it. Now, you can choose to receive, open up your heart and let him come in, and believe on his name. You have the ability to do it. All you have to do is respond to the love of God. And so this text tells us there's a crossing over that takes place. And when you do it, you literally, spiritually, in the spirit realm, you cross over from death to life. It's the most beautiful thing ever. So there you have all those verses. So there's your like sort of first seven verses. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a second category of verses. Now these seven verses are what we call the great I am statements of Jesus. Now in order to understand the context of this, understand that back in Exodus when God told Moses, I want you to go and set the captives free, the Israelites from the Pharaoh. And Moses asks God, who should I tell them sent me? And in Exodus 3:14, God responds, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. I am that I am. In other words, the name that God had given himself is I am. Forever living in the present, never held down by time. He's just a being. He's always been. No one created him. He's just always been. So he really doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He's always been. He's God. He's the great I am, forever lives in the present. And so the past, the future, the present, he's all of it. And he says, look, he ain't going to understand. They ain't going to understand. Just tell them I am that I am sent you. Because they're not going to get it. Well, this is important because that's in Exodus 3:14. So I want you to see another verse, and this is a transitional verse before I get to the seven I am statements. In John 8:58, Jesus says this. This is beautiful. Jesus says, God said to Moses, I am that I am. Okay, that's Exodus 3:14. Here's what John 8:58 says. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Did you see that? Now understand, remember, Moses was the one who God said, tell them I am that I am. If you understand the scripture a little bit, you know that that's in Exodus. The book that comes before Exodus is the book of Genesis. In other words, Abraham is before Moses in the chronological order of scripture. Jesus is not saying before Moses was, I am. Jesus is saying before Abraham was even born. I am. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am God. I am that I am. You want to see God? Look at me. I am the great I am. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word came and dwelt among us and became flesh. Jesus is God. And it's really kind of hard to understand because you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit. But what Jesus is doing is he's showing you that now I'm God in the flesh, and the seven I am statements are going to use fleshly terms that you understand as human beings. So this is what he does. Here's the first one. You ready? Well, before I tell you, let me test you. Anybody know any of the I am statements? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Over there real loud. I am the great gatekeeper. Yeah, I'm the gate. I'm the door. Anybody over here? I'm the what? Light of the world, shepherd. Yeah. Okay, so y'all got some of them, right? Do you have them in order? Do you know what the order is of the seven? Do you know the text, the address with each one? All right, let me give you all seven. I'm going to give you the address that goes with it all in the book of John, okay? Here's the first one, John 6:35. I am the bread of life. And this is what he says. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, see, you got to come to him. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He who comes to me, you got to come. He who believes, there's the word believe again. He's using human words. Before it was, I am that I am, that's it. But now that he's human, he's using terms that we understand. I am the bread of, you know, y'all eat bread? I'm the bread. Back in the Old Testament, they had manna. Y'all don't understand that. Y'all have bread? I'm like bread. You need bread to survive? That's it. You'll never be hungry again. I'm the dude that makes you never hungry again. Physical hunger is one thing. I'm talking about spiritual hunger. He who hungers for righteousness will be filled. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Here's the second great I am. I am the light of the world. I mean, man, we could do a series on each one of these, couldn't we? I am the light of the world. He goes on. This is in John chapter 8, verse 12. Also in John chapter 9, verse 5. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, remember, comes to me, now follows me. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. No darkness in him. Here's a third one. I am the gate. John 10, verse 7. John 10, verse 9. And some of your texts may say, I am the door. This is what he says. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. See, there's that crossing over. There's that threshold. Whoever enters through me will be saved. There's a threshold. There's a crossing that takes place. Remember John 5:24, crossed over from death to life. I don't know when that happens, how that happens, but I know it happens. And he's saying, he is the gate. He is the way in. He is the door. I like this one, John 10:11 and 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he goes on to say, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You see, this is about relationship, not about religion. He says, I know my sheep. So the shepherd knows the sheep and he knows them by name. They know his voice. So they also know the voice of a stranger. And as they relate to him, not only do they know him, but he knows them. You see, this is important because some people are like, yeah, I know God. I know God. Hey, the issue is not whether you know God or not. The issue is, does God know you? There are going to be people saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? He's going to say, I know you not. Prepare for the devil and his angels. You were religious, but it didn't mean we had a relationship. Hey, look, I can go to Nebraska and go knock on Warren Buffett's door and shake the gate where he lives. And like, I know Warren Buffett. He's one of the richest people. He's a billionaire. I know all the companies he has. I know Warren Buffett. And then they're going to be like, well, that's good. Police, could you please get this man off the gate? Because the issue is not whether I know Warren Buffett. The issue is, does Warren Buffett know me? You can know God and still not have a relationship with him. You can know hymns, you can know worship songs, you can know how to say amen, hallelujah, and get baptized and still spend eternity separated from God, because it's not about you knowing him, it's about him knowing you. It's about relationship, relationship, relationship. Well, how can I know him? Remember, receive, believe, become. When I open up my heart and you come in, Jesus, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open up your heart, I will come in and I will sup with you and fellowship with you. That's knowing. Fellowship. Do you have fellowship with God? Does God have fellowship with you? He says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. I know them and they know me. Relationship, not religion. Let me give you the fifth out of the seven. This one is from John 11:25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Goes on to say, he who believes in me will live. There's that word believe again. Even though he dies. Even though he dies physically, if he believes in me, he'll always live. If you continue on in that passage, 11:25 is that verse. But if you go on to verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he ends the verse by saying, a question. Do you believe this? I mean, that really is the question. Do you believe this? It's receiving and it's a believing. Do you believe this? See, God gives us the opportunity. He speaks the truth, and then we have to ask ourselves the question, do I believe this? Some of you believe it. Some of you don't believe it. But God is telling you, hey, you believe in me? You'll never die. Even though he dies, yet will he live. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I'm death. I'm the resurrection from death. I'm life. If you want life, it's me. If you want resurrection, it's me. And then we get to the sixth one, which is hard for a lot of people, but this is what it says. These are Jesus' words, John 14:6. Here's the six out of seven. You ready? I am the way and the truth and the life. And in that verse, he goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now Jesus is saying, I am the way, so I'm the pathway to get there. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one gets to Father God except through me. So the only way to God the Father is through Jesus, from what I can hear Jesus saying. He's saying, I'm the door, I'm the gate, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Acts 4:12 says salvation is found in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's what the scripture says. Now listen, I'll never disrespect any other religion. And I don't have all of the big questions answered theologically. I'm not that smart. I don't know a whole lot of stuff. I can't tell you when people ask, what about Muhammad? What about Buddha? What about Confucius? I don't have all those answers. And I don't know a whole lot. But I do know that Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And whether you believe in Confucius or Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else, the one thing I do know, while I don't know a lot about all of that, and while I respect all different beliefs and religions, and while everybody has a volitionary choice to believe or not to believe in Jesus, the one thing I do know is that there was only one who was perfect, who took all my sins, and there's only one whose grave is empty. He rose again from the dead. I don't know what to say about the other spiritual leaders, but I know that there was one that was sinless, that substituted my death penalty and paid for me, and then rose again from the dead. I know not about anything else. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. All I know is once I was dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. I don't know your testimony, but I know mine. I know he saved me when I was 18. I know he reached down from on high and he drew me out of deep waters. You gotta have your own testimony. I'm not here to argue about other religions. I'm only here to tell you that on the third day, he got up, the grave was empty, and he washed my sins away. I'm free, I'm clean, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God. That much I do know. I am that I am. I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, I'm the gate. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to Father God except through me. And then he gave one more I am in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to stay connected to the vine. Now we went through like 14 verses, two categories of seven, the seven I ams. But what happens then when you cross over from death to life? What should you do then? Well, the first step of obedience as a new believer is baptism. Baptism is the public demonstration of an inward decision that you made. All that belief talk is inside. But when the baptism is outside, you see, baptism doesn't save you. You're already saved through belief. Baptism publicly declares that you believe. And so baptism is the New Testament way of circumcision from Old Testament. Old Testament, the way you knew a Jew is that they were circumcised. And that was their marking. In the New Testament, baptism is the marking of the new believer. Because what it does, according to Romans 6:1-15, and you can read that on your own, what it does is it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so when you go down into the water, it's like you're dying to yourself. And you're being washed and clean. And then when you come up, boom. You're alive in Christ and you're living for Christ. It's literally the death, burial, and resurrection being symbolized when you're baptized. And that's the beauty of baptism. Now, I'm going to release us for baptism in just a moment, but what I want you to see, if you've been baptized, if you're a believer, if you're trying to get involved in the church, you're trying to figure out, what's the next step for me? Around here, we call it plus one. Plus one means you can grow in your faith if you add one more thing to Sundays. Sundays are a great spiritual opportunity to worship and to learn, and that's a great start, and it grows you, no doubt about it. Don't dishonor Sundays. Sundays are awesome. But beyond Sunday, if you want to go to the next level in your growth, add one more thing. And there are all kinds of things you can add. Women's ministry, men's ministry. There's all kinds of Bible studies and groups and all that. Well, you may wonder, well, how can I get more information? Let me show you just a little something on the screen. This is the way you can navigate our website. This is what I want you to do. Go to BCC, go to bridgeway.cc. And when you go to the webpage, just scroll down the page and click next steps. That's all you got to do. So go to the webpage, click next steps. And you will see the information like knowing God, baptisms, groups that you can join, partnership, and so many more things where you can figure out, what is my plus one? What can I do in addition to Sundays to help me grow? Maybe it's serving somewhere, all right? So that's something I think that could be helpful to you. And I want you guys to go to the next level in your growth. Now, having said that, when I said baptism is really the outward demonstration of an inward decision, and I'm going to ask them to come and get prepared for baptisms now. Let me tell you a bit of my story, though. When I came to, I'm not quite sure. Let me put it like this. I'm sure when I came to Christ, but I had some spiritual activity early on in my life. Like, because I grew up in the church, and my dad was a pastor and all that. When I was about 12 years old, I got baptized. I do remember that. But I'm not going to tell you I actually knew what I was doing. Like, they may have just said, boy, you better get up there and get baptized. Your dad's a pastor, you better get baptized. I mean, I don't know. What I do know is my greatest time of sin was after that. Okay. So, I mean, I don't even know I was saved. I wasn't dealing drugs at 12, but I was at 16, so you go figure. But when I was 18 years old, and I was having a good time in the streets and everything, I do remember the day when I pulled over on the side of the road. It was just me in the car. God's spirit just filled the car. I literally had to stop the car on Riggs Road in Prince George's County, Maryland. And I invited Jesus into my life. I surrendered my life to him. That much I know. And I know that God called me to ministry at that time. So the whole trajectory of my life changed because of that moment in my car. And I went and I flushed the drugs down the toilet, broke up with the girl that I was with, the whole nine yards. I was a new man. And then I went off to Bible college. And after Bible college, I started working in a church as an intern. And as I was an intern in that church, I was supposed to pastor, like be a young adult pastor. So I had about 150 kids between the ages of 18 and 25. Kind of like our leverage group. So I had about 150 of them. And we were going on a retreat, and they were going to do baptisms at the retreat. Here's the thing. From the time I gave my life to Christ at 18 until now, I'm probably about 23, 24 years old, I had never gotten baptized. But now I'm supposed to baptize these people, but I'm the spiritual leader, I'm the pastor, and so it'd be weird if I'm like, yeah, I'm getting baptized, but I can't baptize them not being baptized. So I struggled. Let me tell you what helped me. What helped me was when I read the scriptures that showed me that Jesus got baptized. As an adult, Jesus was baptized at the beginning of his public ministry. So that was the humble example I needed. I said, if Jesus could be baptized, then why can't I? So I just told the whole group, look, I need to be baptized. So I got baptized. I can't even remember who did it. Somebody baptized me. But I got baptized, and then I was able to baptize the other people. So some of you may be struggling yourself. You've been a Christian for a long time, a pastor, an elder, a ministry leader, a vocalist. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've been saved, but you've not been baptized since salvation, then maybe you ought to really consider baptism. And here's the thing. Baby baptism doesn't count. I mean, I hate to tell you that. I don't mean to make you upset or anything. I'm just saying that you didn't even know what you were doing then. That decision wasn't made by you, it was made for you. And that's great. If they make it for you, that's great. You get sprinkled in the name of Jesus. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But that ain't believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is what happened in Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch came to understand what the scriptures meant. Then they were going by the road and saw the river. He says, why shouldn't I be baptized? And they pulled the chariot over and baptized him right then and there. Baptism is a public declaration of an inward decision that you chose to make. So if you're in the house today and you've not been baptized as a believer, strongly consider baptism. There are several people who are about to be baptized who did consider baptism. They took a class, they wrote their stories, and they're going to share those stories with you today. After they're baptized, I'm going to come back up. So let's get started.
Kennedy. I first came to learn about Jesus when I was about 3 years old. My father would put me to sleep every night with the Lord's Prayer and the Lay Me Down to Sleep Prayer. He would read me kids' Bibles and teach me about Jesus. I have been going to Bridge Kids ever since I was three, and they would teach me about Jesus and how he was born and lived and died on the cross for me. I love Jesus because he loved me and he died for me. I liked singing songs about him in the choir and dancing for him in Flourish. I asked my dad 2 years ago to be baptized, but they thought I wasn't ready, and I was sad, but my dad told me not to give up. This year, they again asked me why I wanted to be baptized. I want to be baptized because I love Jesus, and I want to follow him and serve him and be a part of this family.
Lensa Deribe, I came to know Jesus by reading my Bible and going to church. I understand that Jesus died on the cross for us. I believe in Jesus and want to be baptized.
Mati Deribe, I came to know about Jesus when my mom told me. Who Jesus is to me, the Son of God, my brother, my Savior. Because I believe in Christ, I want to be baptized.
Amari Brown. I have been raised in a Christian home, and Jesus is a very important part of my life. I remember God speaking to me about Jesus dying for all of us at a very young age. I want to be baptized to bring me closer to God and start the journey he has designed for me.
Kevin LaShawn Brown II. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be baptized as a public acknowledgement of my belief and start a new chapter in my life.
Lisa Coleman. Before I met Christ, I felt lost. I met Christ through studying the Bible and praise and worship songs. Since meeting Christ, my life is more organized. I want to be baptized so that I can be reborn into a better person.
Angela Bragg. Before I met Christ, my life was empty. I met Christ through studying the Bible and having praise and worship. Since meeting Christ, my life is more structured. I pray to Jesus Christ whenever I need guidance with making a decision or healing or just praying for someone else that is in need. I want to be baptized to have a closer relationship with the Lord and to lead by Jesus' example.
David Flood, my favorite scripture that I quote daily and believe in with all my heart is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I believe in transparency. My walk with Christ hasn't always been perfect, but I've always been a man of my word. I grew up in the church, but at that time I didn't really take it seriously. I went through the motions because I figured I had to. In 2016, after coming to a few services at Bridgeway, God made it clear that it was time to renew my walk with him, stop living a double life, and give him my all. As a man of my word, I committed to going to church every Sunday, but I knew God still wasn't pleased. Fast forward to 2019, I decided to go to the men's retreat, and I can truly say that I left everything that wasn't like God at the chapel altar in Sandy Cove. I finally experienced having a changed heart. Over the years, I've been told you're beyond your years, or I've been watching and there's something different about you. But what I really want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful Amen. Servant. Because to be honest, that's all that really matters. I've decided to go public with my faith to show my transformation as a living testimony and have my life's journey resonate and save at least one person.
Yvonne Flood. My desire in life has always been to make a difference in others' lives and to leave them better than they were before. Understanding Philippians 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Knowing that it is not me of myself, but the Spirit of the Lord in me. As I look over my life and all the years, I pushed, not wanting to give up, using all the strength I had. I realize now I could not have endured the pressures, the loss, the pain, and having to stand alone without him. Today, I'm being baptized to declare to the world that I've decided to follow Jesus, to take what appears small and make it big. 1 John 4:4, for greater is he in me than that is in the world. Yesterday, I celebrated my birthday, and now today, I get to celebrate my risen day of dedication to the Lord until I see his face to face.
Rumbi Joyce Tawanesvi. From the time I was born, I grew up in church. I was dedicated as a baby and was baptized when I was in middle school. I didn't know what baptism meant then. I just knew people who claimed they loved God got baptized, no questions asked. When I was about 8 years old, I experienced something that changed my life for the worst. From that day, I knew I wasn't the same when I came out of that situation. This particular experience held me captive from the time I was 8 up until the time I was 22 years old. My sister in Christ, Bianca, and I prayed and cried together over the phone. I could literally feel the weight lifted and the chains break from my spirit. At that moment, I heard the Lord speak, "My child, you are now free." From that day, the enemy has tried to convince me I'm still broken, but my God says in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, "The Lord's love never ends. His mercies are new every morning." Yes. I stand here today proclaiming my love and faithfulness, not only to the world, but to my God. I seal my faith, love, and peace to the Lord in this moment.
Teresa Henderson, I've known God for a long time, but I learned what it truly means to have a real relationship with God and to be changed by the Holy Spirit in the summer of 2016. Since that time, God has changed my life completely. I've had many hard trials, but through each one, God held me close, used the fire to refine me, and made me a better person. I want to be baptized as a symbol of my relationship with God, my commitment to Him, and the work He has done in me.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father God except through me." I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of you waved to me earlier. Others of you may not have waved, but you've never invited Christ into your life. This is your moment. Let's pray. If you want to be saved, if you want to be born again, then this is the moment you die to yourself. By asking God to come into your heart. Just say, "Dear Jesus, please save me. Forgive me for my sins. I follow you by faith today. I open up my heart and I receive you. I believe on your name. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for rising again from the dead. I trust you today for salvation. Now help me cross over from death to life. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, I want to celebrate with you. So if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, you just crossed over from death to life. Let me wave back at you. If you prayed that prayer, wave to me. Let's see, who made that decision to trust Christ? Who made that decision to trust Christ? Who made that decision? Who made that decision? That's awesome. Anybody else over here? I see you. I see you. Anybody else? My man right here. I'm proud of you, man. Anybody else? Wave to me. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you. I see you. I see you. Anybody else? Hey, guess what? This is the best day of your life. You just crossed over from death to life. You died, literally. You just died. But Christ lives in you. That's what baptism is about. Dying to yourself, coming alive in Christ. Now I'm going to give you another opportunity here. And this is for the people who just trusted Christ, but this is also for you. Man, you may have been saved for a long time, but you, like me, you were never baptized after you made a decision to follow Christ. When you get baptized, you're saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, yes, but is the power of God unto salvation." If you want to be baptized right now, I just want you to come over to this cross, talk to a minister real quick, affirm your faith, and we'll drop you in the name of Jesus right there, right there in the baptism pool. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is 12 o'clock service. We can go all afternoon for the Lord. Why shouldn't you be baptized? Come on. Why shouldn't you be baptized? Come on. Come on, why shouldn't you be baptized? Good Lord, look at this. Wow. 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 Anybody else? We got all afternoon. Go home if you want to. When the Spirit of the Lord show up, you got to throw the clock out the window. Wow. We don't have no clothes for you. We do have towels and water dries. Wow, I think we got more that didn't plan to be baptized than planned to be baptized. My God. Brenda, oh my Lord, come on in with those nice clothes on. Wow. 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 I'm so proud of you. Look at you. Go on with your bad self. Oh my goodness. Come on, one more. One more. All right, pastors, get ready to work. We got a line for you. Get ready to work. Come on, man. What's your name? What's your name?
My name's Jason.
Jason, good to meet you. Why are you getting baptized?
It's just time to make a change, man.
All right. I'm proud of you, Jason. I'm proud of you. Go get him.
Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried him in baptism.
Boom! There are a couple men in the congregation that could just help me out right now. I need a couple men. Just as we're getting out the pool, I want to make sure nobody slips. I got one here. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Come on, we're going to work now. We're going to work now. Thank you. Look at the men of the church. Look at the men of the church. We're going to work. Yes, 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 yes. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Yes, he is. Chains are being broken. He can't stand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening right now. Come on, my brother. Drop him in the name of Jesus. Boom! There you go. Good, good. There you go. Watch your step. There you go. What's your name?
Emily.
Why are you being baptized?
Why am I being baptized? Because I love Jesus and I'm going to make changes.
Excellent.
And follow him.
Well, they're going to drop you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Can I confess something?
Sure.
Congregation, I just feel like I do have a relationship with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I just have been feeling this block. It's almost like me and you were boys, and then all of a sudden something happened in our relationship. We just haven't been talking like we used to. I still believe in you. I trust in you. You're there. I love. I thank God for this opportunity because he's here. And I thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
He forgives you.
Thank you.
You will go down dying to yourself.
Yes.
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You about to go down.